Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Ah, crap! I almost forgot! Wait! Shaw! I was saving it for a good time!
What is it?
Big Chief! The best!
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Hey, check this out. Lou Gehrig's pants. Not a bad fit. Hey, you don't think that nerve disease of his was contagious, do you? Better take him off. I'm too important to this team. Big Stein can't be flopping and twitching.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Let's have a smell, all right? Ooh, wafting, wafting. Oh, everyone likes their own brand, don't they? This is magic.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Those goofy bastards are just about the best thing I've got going in this crazy world.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in hour number two here on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. More drama in the New York sports scene. We got NFL true or false. Did Jason Swigart have a good or bad week? We'll get to all of that, but let's talk some Pac-12 and college football with our good friend Phil Steele.
Let's hear from college football's walking encyclopedia.
Yeah, remember 2 years ago, my number one surprise team in the magazine, a non-top 10 team that I thought could make the playoffs, was the Washington Huskies, and they made the playoffs.
And the publisher of the definitive college football Bible.
It seemed like once folks got film on Khalil Tate, he wasn't as effective. You look at the last three games for Arizona, they didn't put up the points they were producing in his first four or five starts.
It's time for the Phil Steele Report with Dirt and Sprague, your weekly must-listen for the college gridiron. Brought to you by George McCoy, attorney at Warren Allen Attorneys at Law. Been injured in an accident? He can help you get the compensation you deserve. Go to warrenallen.com.
Well, let's start with the big game over the weekend. We talked about it a lot yesterday, Phil, and that was Oregon upsetting Washington in Eugene and beating the Huskies. They get a huge win in conference. They win it by a game-winning touchdown, C.J. Verdell, in overtime. What were your thoughts on that matchup?
You know what? The game played out pretty much exactly as I thought. I thought it would be decided by a field goal one way or the other. Washington lined up for a game-winning field goal at the end of the game and missed it, and in overtime, the Ducks got the win. Now, the Ducks did lead a good portion of the game, so I was impressed with that. And Justin Herbert pretty much had the type of game you would expect, throwing for over 200 yards. I thought overall Oregon played well, deserved to win, but right down to the wire, a great game in the Pac-12.
Well, and you told us something last week that I think Oregon fans got excited about, and that was if Oregon was to win that game over Washington, you expected them to win the North. So I'm assuming you're holding firm on that one, and then just kind of on top of that, what are your thoughts about their challenging matchup this weekend against Washington State?
Yeah, you hit it right on the head with challenging matchup because, I mean, just like the Cal game, remember Oregon's off an overtime loss and had to travel, and Cal was off a bye? Granted, Cal and Washington State are two different animals this year. But Washington State, fresh off a bye. Oregon off a huge win. And so the situation greatly favors Washington State. But I like the eye test that I have on Oregon this year. I think they are right now the best team in the Pac-12. And when you look at Washington State, you know, they throw the ball a lot. They do not run the ball a lot, very little. So I think if the Ducks come in with the proper defense for that, they should do well. And I think Herbert's going to do well. The situation greatly favors Washington State, but I think Oregon's a better team and should be able to sneak out of there with a very tough road win.
Well, who's the best team in the South then? If you like Oregon in the North and you like them to go on the road this weekend, we had Colorado, USC, and Colorado basically got thumped last week, and USC really just took it to them. They get an 11-point win, and Colorado was looked at favorably by a lot of people. Utah kind of coming on a little bit. I know they lost closely a few weeks ago to Washington State, but that was a game they very well could have won. They thump Arizona. You kind of have Utah, USC, Colorado in that three-way mix. How would you sort the South?
Most talented of the three, I'm going to go with USC, especially with JT Daniels. He took his lumps his first two starts on the road as a true freshman quarterback, but didn't play overall bad in those games. In fact, USC was only out first down by two first downs, despite losing by a combined 54-17. And they're just going to get better each and every week, and especially as Daniels keeps passing these big tests that he have. Now, who's in the best situation? I would have to think Utah's probably in that situation because they're at home this week, catching USC off a big game. And Utah, meanwhile, is off a rather easy win over Arizona. Arizona lost their starting quarterback in the first quarter, second quarter. They were controlling the game at that point. And so they're off an easy win. They've already beaten Stanford on the road. They're at home. I thought they gave Washington a good game. So the situation favors Utah. Most talented team overall, USC, but I think it might just be Utah at the end of the year.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun race down there. You know, one team that is also off a bye this week, and I think their fan base is eager to see that win, and they've shown signs of growth this season, is Oregon State. As offensively, they've been great. Defensively, we know how much they've struggled, but they welcome Cal to town this week, and I'm a little surprised by the spread because of the way Cal has played the last couple of weeks. What do you think about Oregon State's chances to get a Pac-12 win this weekend?
I think they can get the victory this week. Granted, they've been blown out in a lot of their games this year, which is understandable. But, you know, when you look at Cal, they have yet to find a quarterback. And as exciting as Brandon McIlwain is a quarterback, I mean, this guy can make some big plays, both with his arms and his legs. But for every big play he makes, he seems to make one or even two mistakes. And, you know, minus five in turnovers last week against UCLA. They only got outgained by 38 yards. You look up at the scoreboard, it's a blowout loss by 30 points because of five turnovers. And when they played the Ducks as well, minus four in turnovers. And so if McIlwain's going to remain the starting quarterback, I think the turnovers continue. You take him out of the lineup, then they're not as exciting a quarterback. I think the Ducks have a chance, or the Beavers, have a chance in this one. And you're looking at two solid running backs. I think that Oregon State can get that big home win this week.
We're talking with the college football guru, Phil Steele. He joins us every Tuesday to kick off the second hour. PhilSteele.com, ESPN.com, and on Twitter at PhilSteele042. Washington State has the one loss to USC. Maybe USC ends up being a top 25-ish team by the end of the year. Oregon has that loss against Stanford, but they sit right now at 5-1 at the midway point of the season. Would you eliminate the Pac-12 out of the college football playoff, or do you think there's still an outside chance if one of those two teams can run the gauntlet the rest of the way that they're in that conversation?
Yeah, a one-team Pac-12 team is probably under 50% at this point, but very much alive. I mean, when you look at the Big 12 this year, I could forecast the Big 12 champ coming out with at least two losses. There's a potential that the Big 10 champ emerges with two losses this year. And if that happens, the Pac-12 is very much alive. Yeah, Notre Dame's probably going to take one of the conference slots. But then again, they struggled with Pitt last week. They've got some dangerous games coming up as well. They've got to play USC on the road. They've got to play the option of Navy. They have to play Northwestern on the road. They have to play a Florida State team that's getting better by the week. They have to play Syracuse. So they don't have a single easy game the rest of the way. There's no saying that Notre Dame's going to run the table. So I say the Pac-12, as much as they're being written off nationally, still very much alive with a loss champ. If they get there that way.
Yeah, we always forget about the craziness that happens throughout the season. A bunch of top 10 teams losing this past weekend is a good example of that. And one team that had a big win this weekend, and you liked it when we talked to you last week, was Michigan at home over Wisconsin. As they got it going, a big win at home, a statement win for Jim Harbaugh. Are you buying them as a Big Ten champ over Ohio State? Do they have the talent to get that done?
They've got the talent, no doubt. In fact, if Ohio State, when you look at the two teams, compare them, there's no doubt Ohio State has the offensive edge, and there's also no doubt that Michigan has the defensive edge. And Michigan's just getting better and better each week of the season. Now, the game's in Columbus, and it's been a long time since Michigan defeated Ohio State. So I think it's been six straight wins for Ohio State. And even if you go back further, Michigan's only beaten them once since 2004.
Wow.
So it's Ohio State's dominated the series, and they're at home. But right now, Michigan's playing better football. And I like defense. I'm a guy that leans with the defense. Michigan's number one in the country, holding opponents to 211 yards per game, below their season average. That's the best in the country. I think we might have one of those huge games at the end. Remember, they have one against two. I'm not sure how it was within the last 10 years. One against two might be something like that once again when those two face off.
Yeah, we're talking with Phil Steele, a college football guru. He joins us every Tuesday at the 1 o'clock hour here on 1080 The Fan. There is a game in the ACC that's caught my eye for this weekend. It's a 12:30 kick. It's NC State, who sits at 5-0. By the way, if teams nobody talks about, NC State is for sure in that conversation. They travel to Clemson, who is also, they're 6-0, excuse me. So you got two undefeateds in the ACC. Ryan Finley's having a pretty good year for NC State. Do you give the Wolfpack a shot in this one? Is Clemson vulnerable, or do you think Clemson maybe establishes themselves within the ACC this weekend?
Yeah, I think Clemson pretty much makes the final statement they need to make this year in ACC play. Yeah, they've got Florida State on deck, but this is probably the one game they've got to get. And I think when you look at the matchup of these two teams, as good as North Carolina State has played this year, they really haven't played anybody. And, you know, Marshall on the road was a decent game. Boston College at home, they played a really good first half in that one. The second half got a little tight. But they've got Ryan Finley, but they don't have a huge run game. The defensive line is not last year's defensive line. I thought NC State could upset Clemson last year, and they came very close to doing it. But this year, Clemson's a better team. And the fact that Clemson's off a bye, fresh and ready, and will be fully focused for 5-0 NC State this week. I like Clemson at home to get that one by over a couple of touchdowns.
You know, one team that I think has been a curiosity for fans this year is LSU. And they've had moments of looking great, moments of kind of scratching your head, losing at Florida. Then they bounce back at home with a dominating win over Georgia. What did you make of that outcome? And then also, what does that game mean for the rest of the season for LSU and Georgia in your mind?
You know, going into that, I had questions about Georgia's physicality on the offensive and defensive lines, and LSU proved that they were superior in both areas in that game, and sort of, as you mentioned, dominated the game against Georgia. Bodes well for LSU. I don't know if they're going to be able to knock off Alabama in Death Valley. They've also got a tough test to season final at Texas A&M. But very impressive. And what we've seen out of LSU is their offensive playmakers get better by the week. Joe Burrow, a quarterback, now up to an 8-2 ratio. Brissett and Edwards-Hilaire at the running back spot getting better by the week. And they've got some dangerous receivers. And they are very physical on defense. They've got an excellent secondary. So I think LSU's a legitimate team. Georgia, on the other hand, I would have high hopes for them. And after they blew out South Carolina, it's like, okay, well, they're going unbeaten this year. But they didn't impress me against Missouri, and they sure as heck didn't impress me in Death Valley. They've got some tough tests coming up. You may have a different SEC East champ because they play Florida in Jacksonville in a couple of weeks. And when that game goes on, I think Florida's going to give them everything they want. I'm surprised at the physicality of Georgia's offensive line. I know they've been banged up, and that's probably a factor in there, but I thought they'd be a little bit better this year.
Boy, you and me both. I went completely the other way with LSU and Georgia last week, and my co-host Dirt here, he loved LSU, and I loved Georgia, and boy, they took a thumping to the Tigers in Ed Orgeron last weekend. Phil, curious about Notre Dame before we get your big prediction for the weekend, your pick of the week, I should say. Notre Dame, I mean, they barely beat Pittsburgh this weekend at home, and I know some people in the realm of gambling kind of predicted Pittsburgh to maybe keep that a little tighter than 21 points. But did they expose Notre Dame, or do you think this is a one-off for the Irish?
Yeah, I mean, look at Notre Dame the previous 2 weeks. They played a huge game against Stanford at home and pretty much dominated the game. In fact, they had a 552-29-yard edge. That was a game a lot of folks said was going to be a big proving one game for Notre Dame. Then they had to go into Blacksburg, enter Sandman, play Virginia Tech on the road. It was a game Brian Kelly had talked about for a year and a half going in and facing that type of environment. And now you're a 3-touchdown favorite against a Pitt team. Tough to get the team motivated like that and play your A game on a yearly basis. I thought they played A game Stanford, A game Virginia Tech, and C game against Pitt. We'll see a better Notre Dame. They've got the advantage of having a bye prior to playing Navy, which is huge. The Northwestern game will be interesting on the road, but I think there'll be a good amount of Notre Dame fans. They get Florida State at home, and that's going to be in cold weather. Nice advantage for Notre Dame. Syracuse in the dome, or in Yankee Stadium is going to be interesting, and then USC in the season final. But I still have the Irish favorite on all the rest of their games. And I think the offensive line will start to gel a little bit more as the season goes on.
All right, get you out of here with your pick of the week. You've had a pretty good season thus far. What are you looking at this weekend?
Yeah, let's go for another underdog upset here this week. I'm going to go back to CUSA, and we're going to look at Florida Atlantic taking on Marshall. And when Marshall, they're a team that lost their quarterback, Isaiah Green, a couple weeks ago. Alex Thompson's come in and done well. They've got both quarterbacks should be available here. and I'm comfortable with both. I think Marshall has the defensive edge. They rarely lose at home. They're a 3-point underdog at home against FAU. And this is not last year's FAU team. This is this year's FAU team. Same one that lost to Middle Tennessee State a few weeks back. Got thumped by UCF, got thumped by Oklahoma. Just haven't been as impressive. Large defensive edge for the home team. I like Marshall to pull the upset.
All right, there we go. The college football guru, Phil Steele, joins us every Tuesday at 1 o'clock to talk all things Pac-12 and college football. Thanks so much for the time this week, Phil, and we'll talk to you next week and break down some more football.
All right, sounds great. Always a lot of fun talking football with you guys.
All right, there we go. Good stuff from the guru himself. He likes Oregon State a little bit this week. He didn't predict a win, but he does like Oregon State's chances. He likes Oregon to get a win over Washington State, and he likes Utah in the South.
I can see that because of the way the schedule breaks for them. They already played Washington, already played Washington State. They get Oregon at home. They get USC this weekend at home. Those, the schedule breaks for them a little bit here.
May I ask you a question? Is something we can discuss coming up next?
You can ask me anything, man. It's your show.
Touche. Way to sprague me. Are we underestimating the South's ability to win the conference? 55305. I kind of want to dive into the South a little bit. We haven't talked much Pac-12 South. That's okay. Next on 1080 The Fan.
We got a lot coming ahead on the show here. NFL true or false. We've got drama in New York.
We have topics that we know are out there. I don't know if we'll get to them today. Mike Dunleavy, former Blazer coach, is going to join the show at 2 o'clock. We'll talk a little Paul Allen with Mike Dunleavy. He's now coaching at Tulane. We've got this Nick Bosa story from Ohio State. And Mike Krzyzewski. We talked about Roy Williams. Have you seen what Mike Krzyzewski said?
I did see that. He is he's going with the, there's nothing to see here, move on. Everything is fine.
Yeesh. Could you be any more tone deaf to your scenario or situation than Mike Krzyzewski is with his answer here?
Yeah, I don't know if this is like tempting to get fired because of how big of a Duke fan the boss man is. But there is a part of me with this college basketball scandal. If I could pull for one program to have some dirt and get dragged down
is
a little
Duke?
Bit, it would be Duke.
Why Duke? Just because you've always hated Duke?
Just because it's Coach K.
Right.
And he says stuff like this, and everybody always insinuates that he's clean and he doesn't cheat. We know everybody cheats in college basketball.
Right.
I am kind of pulling for them to get knocked down a peg or
well,
two.
And then Bill Self tied to some text messages, I think, that acknowledged the story I said, acknowledging that he was aware of shoe companies. I just, man. So we got all that ahead. And also, somebody has dubbed Kawhi Leonard onto the NBA on NBC theme song, his laugh.
There is a lot of awful stuff that goes on the internet. Like, just a lot of meanness and awfulness. And then stuff like this happens, and you're thankful that the internet exists.
It's amazing, yes. Yeah, so we will try to bring that to you today as well. But I asked you about the Pac-12 South, because we haven't really talked much about it. We've talked about a few football games, but I know Oregon's rolling right now. I think people still really respect Washington because they make a kick. They win that game.
Mm-hmm.
Stanford may have been knocked down a peg, and then Washington State kind of laying in the weeds there for some people. We think the Pac-12 is going to come from the north. I am absolutely one of those people. I don't think there's any question. Are we underestimating the South's ability, though, to win this conference?
I don't think so. The one that you do have to keep an eye on, at least at this point, to me, is USC. Just because we've seen them do it in the past, and I know it's hilarious because we just did the segment a couple of weeks back about how Clay Helton's coaching for his job, and if he loses to Washington State on that Friday night game, maybe he's not even the coach right now. That game went their way. They got the benefit of some calls late. Washington State gets the field goal blocked. They survive with the win, and they've looked much better ever since then. So I think that's the one, just because of the talent and because you have to give the benefit of the doubt to a freshman quarterback. He's going to get better as the year goes on. That's the only one that I look at. But when I see Arizona State, they've already lost to Washington. They have talented players.
It's a close game, though.
It was a close game, closer than some thought it would be. But they don't strike the fear into me of being able to beat Washington or Oregon or Washington State even. I feel the same way about Utah. We've already seen Washington State beat Utah at home. It's a great game, close game.
Maybe and Washington.
and Washington. But so they've lost to both of those teams already up north. And I think when you're looking at the South, there's a serious prove-it factor for Colorado. And I thought they had it 2 weeks ago. I bought in. I thought they could beat USC. They didn't show up. Now, maybe they go up and give the Huskies a fight this weekend, and I'm proven wrong on them. But I'm having a hard time putting some stock in that right now. So I think I said it at the start of the year. Some people made fun of me, but I said at the start of the year, I didn't think it was crazy to say the top three programs this year were all going to come from the North. And at the time, I felt like it was Washington, Stanford, and Oregon. Now maybe you flip that and it's Washington, Washington State, Oregon, or whatever order you want to put people in. But I don't think there's any doubt in my mind that the three or four best teams in this conference all come from the Pac-12 North.
Yeah, the thing about the South, though, is you think about USC, and I know USC with Clay Helton does not intimidate or scare anybody, but as Phil was talking about there, they still do have JT Daniels, and he's a true freshman, but man, he's had so much experience already this season, the midway point of their year. You just wonder if maybe it's no longer a valid thing to bring up the fact that he is a freshman, because I think we've discussed it a little bit, and I think you're seeing more and more with college football, because of these Elite 11 camps, because of these 7-on-7 camps, the way it's designed now for football players in this country, they're more ready as freshmen. They're not coming in wide-eyed going, oh, I don't get it, I don't understand it. You're getting guys that you can put in there and put out there, and they're ready to play. And JT Daniels is already regarded as one of the best quarterbacks coming into the country as a freshman, but now he's had all this experience, even with Clay Helton there. USC is the one team I kind of look at and wonder, if there is one for me, it's USC.
But on a neutral site right now, would you pick them to beat Washington or Oregon?
I would not. Not
Washington State. Because Washington State almost beat them in L.A.
Washington State should have beat them in L.A.
They should have.
That game was a whole other conversation. But they would still, of the Pac-12 teams in the South, that one would worry me the most. If you're a fan of a team in the North that's contending to win the Pac-12 title this year, USC is the program that would worry you. Not Utah, and Utah will have a chance this weekend, I know, to play USC, but I'm just talking about from an individual game standpoint of whoever your favorite team is versus a team in the South. I wouldn't want to play USC. I think they have the most the most challenge to present offensively, and then defensively, they're maybe just a slight notch below Utah, but I don't trust Utah's offense enough. So Utah not quite up there with me for me. And then Colorado, I mean, you can't have a performance like that. You've got to show me more in a big game than doing what you did against the Trojans in the Coliseum. So if I was in the Pac-12 North as a fan, I would just be looking at USC and going, that's the only one that maybe a little bit I look at and go, okay.
This really is, and we're going to say it probably every week from here on out, it's going to be a fun weekend in the conference. You start Thursday night, Stanford, Arizona State. I can't wait to watch that game. Both teams coming off a bye, off of tough losses the week prior. You know, can Stanford bounce back? Do they lose three straight games and fall to 4-3? It's at Arizona State. So I think there's a lot of intrigue in that game. We know how big Oregon and Washington State is. There's a prove it there with Colorado as they're on the road at Washington. USC, for all this hype that we're given, they might be an underdog this weekend at Utah, and I wouldn't be shocked if Utah won that game. And then on top of all that, you go back to the game at 1 o'clock in Corvallis, and I think Oregon State's got a great chance at getting a conference win this weekend at home against Cal, a team who's really struggled 3 weeks in a row, and they're 0-3 in the conference. So look, we're going to say it often, I'm sure I said it last week and the week before, but you circle a lot of these games, man, and I can't wait to watch some Pac-12 football this weekend.
Absolutely. All right, drama in New York, but coming up next, NFL True or False. We'll do some NFL True or False next.
Welcome back in, 1:33. Hope your Tuesdays are going well. Dirt and Spray here on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. We'll get back into the drama in New York coming up in 10 minutes. I moved to screen. Now I can't see Spray.
Yeah, this is weird.
Can we do the rest of the show like this? Well, I had to wiggle this screen over to my way so I can see.
Hold on. Let me block Swigard, too. I don't want you or Swigard. There we go.
Just to block the vision completely.
I'm just going
to
be over here.
All right. We're just going to go blind show the rest of the way. I like this. What the hell, man? We're stuck in a closet. Let's have some fun. All right. Giants drama coming up in 10 minutes. Top of the hour, Mike Dunleavy is going to join us. Former Blazer head coach. Currently the coach of Tulane. Fun fact. I did not know that.
Mm-hmm.
He's the coach there. So we'll get his thoughts on Paul Allen. So lots still to come. But it is time for NFL True or False.
Boom.
As it is every Tuesday at this time. Swigard, let's take a look at your record last week.
I don't think it was all that hot last week.
No, it was not.
You sucked.
So, number one, you asked about the rookie quarterbacks. Those four quarterbacks would be 500 or better in week six. You said false. You were right on that. They were 1-3.
Boom.
Now, that's when things went wrong for you.
Ruh-roh.
NFC East is the worst division in football. All four teams will have a losing record after week six. You said that this was true.
Yeah, what the heck happened?
The Redskins got to win.
I've got a challenge for you.
My Cowboys put 40 on Jacksonville.
So not only are they not all below, you have three of the four teams that are at 500 or better.
Yeah.
So you whiffed on that one.
That division right now is better than the AFC South.
Yes.
Yeah. I'll give you that for sure. You said both the Watt brothers will record at least one sack. We didn't even have time to look up JJ because we looked up TJ. He did not have a sack.
Nope.
And then this was probably your biggest whiff of the weekend. Uh-oh. You said the Chiefs and Rams both undefeated. One or two of those teams will lose. You said
biggest whiff.
You said they're both going to roll. That was your quote.
Roll.
Both going to roll. The Rams barely won, and the Chiefs lost. Yeah.
By the way, he also picked the Giants over the Eagles on Thursday, and he said it, like, in convincing fashion.
Bring the heat. All right, what do we got this week?
This week, the LA Rams remain the only undefeated team in the NFL. They took down the Broncos in the snow. They head to San Francisco this Sunday and face the Niners. True or false, the Rams will beat the Niners by double digits and remain undefeated.
This is 100% false here, Bob.
Well, I'm writing down that quote, 100% false.
If I was to bet on a game with a huge spread, this would be it.
And the line is 10 right now.
I think they're going to win this game by 20 points. I think San Francisco gave everything that they had last night. And now they're on a short week with a Ram team that, by the way, they kind of allowed Denver back in. So I think they're going to go to San Francisco. Heading to San Francisco. I think they're going to go, and they are going to destroy the 49ers.
You got a little confused there.
What do you mean?
It's 100% true. If you think they're going to win by 21...
Yeah.
You said it's 100% false.
Oh, whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I meant.
You got me confused there.
You just confused me.
Yeah. It is true or false. They will beat the Niners by double digits.
Yeah, true.
I will double down on your 100% true. I think they blow them out. I'm with you. The Niners playing on a short week, traveling back home. This could be a home game for the Rams because the Niners' home attendance is just not great. Not great fan support. Bad team, and the stadium's 40 minutes south of San Francisco. I think the Rams blow them out. I'm with Sprague. 100% true.
Yeah, I think so. The one thing that the Packers really can't do is rush the football. The one thing the Rams are excellent at with Todd Gurley is running the football. That changes the whole dynamic. Bills rookie quarterback Josh Allen suffered an elbow injury in their 2013 loss to the Texans Sunday. He's been ruled out this week against the Colts. True or false, Derek Anderson will take more offensive snaps for Buffalo than Nate Peterman on Sunday.
This is a weak question. This is true. They will not play Nate Peterman unless Anderson gets hurt.
This better be true. And if it's not, then McDermott should get fired as a head coach.
Yes.
Because Peterman is...
Stop playing him.
Like, why? Why is there any reason to put him out there? You brought in Derek Anderson for a reason. It's because he's better than Nathan Peterman. Basically, everybody's better than Nathan Peterman. This better be true, and out of optimism, I will say that it will be true.
This is false.
Wow.
I don't know why. I think maybe McDermott didn't realize all that he got into when he took this job, and he's secretly trying to get his butt fired so he can get somewhere to actually have an NFL coaching career.
He was just in the playoffs last year.
Well, but the team traded A.J. McCarron and...
Well, I don't think he cared about McCarron. I think he cared about Tyrod Taylor. Oh, look, I think he is in this for the long haul of... I think he trusts the development process of Josh Allen, and he understands they're going to need more draft picks in the future. I don't think he's trying to get out of there. I just, at some point, you got to stop playing a guy throwing this many pick sixes.
Yeah.
You got to stop.
Ouch. Vikings wide receiver Adam Thielen has posted at least 100 yards of receiving in each of Minnesota's first six games this season. Anybody that has him in fantasy probably knows this. Thielen will tie the all-time NFL record of consecutive 100-yard receiving games to start a season of seven this Sunday at the Jets.
This is true. I think a lot of teams have geared up for Adam Thielen, and it has not mattered. It's remarkable, by the way, that he's going to be able to tie this record, and I looked this up. Jerry Rice not even in like the top four of this record. So this is kind of a cool thing for Adam Thielen, who kind of just went unwanted coming into the NFL. I think this is true. I think he will tie the record.
Yeah, I'm going to go with true as well on this one. This is a game that I've kind of circled as a chance for a big statement win for Minnesota. Not that people are impressed by beating the Jets, but the Jets are now at 500. They've won a couple of the weeks in a row over the Broncos and the Colts. The Vikings are going to pose a whole different problem for them. They're only a three-point favorite. I love Minnesota to cover that spread in this game. And I think they go to Thielen early and often, as they have all year. The Jets will have an answer for it. I say this is true.
Yeah, this is true. Thielen, the big beneficiary of teams having to keep safeties deep with Stephon Diggs, having to commit a safety to Kyle Rudolph because of the skill of the entire receiving core. He's the guy underneath a lot of times that gets one-on-one coverage, and he's a great route runner, so there's no reason to think that he won't. Finally, Titans quarterback Marcus Mariota was sacked 11 times Sunday. Yes, 11 times. The Ravens set a franchise record in that statistic in their 21-0 shutout of Tennessee. True or false? Mariota will have more touchdown passes than time sacked this Sunday against the Chargers.
Oh, this is false.
There's no way you could say true to this.
This is false, false, false.
Now, the crazy thing is, too, I didn't watch a ton of that game because holy shnikes, was it bad. Isn't Tennessee supposed to have a decent offensive line?
Well, they didn't last weekend.
Conklin, Luan. Supposed to be an okay group.
Maybe we're underselling Baltimore.
It could be. Yeah,
Baltimore's defense has been pretty good this year.
Look, I love my boy. They're going on the road to the Chargers this weekend.
Are they still in first?
They're still in first.
That division sucks.
They're in first because they're 2-0 in the division. 3-3, they got the tiebreaker. But no, I don't have faith enough to say this will be true.
A good day for Mariota is 2 touchdowns, right?
Yeah.
I think they're getting to him 4 times.
At least.
That's assuming his receivers don't drop wide open touchdown passes.
Where
too.
Was this performance 2 weeks ago on our parlay, by the way? Damn, man.
Losing us money.
Yes, this is false. Maybe they might be even if he's lucky. If he has a good day passing, maybe 3-3. Because the Chargers will give up some yardage, as we've seen, but they can still rush the passer a little bit, so this will be false.
A fun true or false would be, will the winner of the AFC South be below 500?
At this point, I want to say yes, 7-9.
Right, I mean,
Jacksonville showing you where they're going to make this huge turnaround?
Tennessee's won 3 in a row, but they could be 0-6.
The Colts are
Houston. I mean,
the Colts are a stubborn team, but they're not going to win enough.
And the Colts are like 1-5.
I know, but they're up 42 points to the Jets.
I know, but they're in a lot of their football games.
No, they're not. I mean, they're not winning that
division.
Well,
that's just because Andrew Luck.
Yeah, that's such a bad division.
Is there
anyone that's close? NFC East, is that the only one that's close?
The NFC West isn't great.
NFC West
but
is pretty
Seahawks
bad.
Are 3-3.
In division, I still think is pretty bad too. Is the AFC East outside of New England?
Yeah, I mean that's not looking great right now.
I know your Finns got to win, but I'm not buying them.
Yeah, how about that 4-2.
4-2.
4-2.
Getting close. They're
halfway.
You're 8-8.
Halfway, baby.
You're 8-8.
Let's go, Brock Osweiler.
Yeah.
By the way, this is like that weird dating show where you're talking to somebody, but you can't see what they look like.
Yeah, it's like, remember the old one on MTV where they spun the chairs around? What was that show called? And it was Jenny McCarthy was the host?
Yeah, it's...
What was the name of that show?
Text, please. Help us with this, please.
I love that one. And you just had to listen to their interests. You couldn't see what they look like. And then you'd like... It was the voice before the voice.
Right. But for dating.
Right.
It was the bone zone.
Right, right.
What if you did this to find out your sports radio... co-host.
We can't see each other.
You go off opinions.
We do a show. I have to move the screen. This is going to get too weird.
It's really weird because I'm only
singled
seeing
out.
Hands.
Singled out. Thank
yeah.
you.
Yes.
I loved that show. Was that after your time, Swigard?
Yeah, it probably was.
A little bit. More with the MTV game show that I watched a lot was Remote Control with Colin Quinn.
Missed that one.
Remote Control.
That
Colin
was right
Quinn,
in my
But I do like
wheelhouse.
Colin Quinn.
Okay.
You know, you kind of look like the country croc hand model right now. You're talking, but all I'm seeing are your hands.
I think Remote Control was when we first got introduced to Carmen Electra.
Was it Singled Out? Yeah, it was Singled Out. Yeah.
It's a classic 90s dating show.
That was also on that show, Boy Meets World. There was
what?
An episode.
Oh, really?
His brother was on it.
Oh, I don't remember that episode.
Jenny McCarthy. That was my introduction to her.
Yeah, she was hot.
Hello, Jenny.
Still hot. All right.
Get a vaccine, though.
Yeah. There you go. NFL True or False every Tuesday at 1:30. Thank you, Text Police, for helping us out on that one. Okay, we'll get to Mike Dunleavy, former coach of the Blazers. He's going to join us coming up top of the hour. We'll get some of his thoughts and memories on Paul Allen after his passing yesterday, the owner of the Blazers and the Seahawks. But let's stick in the NFL briefly for one more. The owner of the Giants is not happy. About what and with who? Crunch time next on The Fan.
The pressure's on.
We have an opportunity to reestablish ourselves, get a big win. Not all is lost.
Who's feeling the heat?
Now we got to go home and make sure that, you know, we take care of business there. Shame on us if we don't.
It's Crunch Time, a look at the hottest topic in sports. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments.
Hey, Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments. I was not at the Glorious House of Gaines today.
Yeah, I ain't having that. You got me? I ain't having that.
Come on, brother.
Sorry.
I wasn't there either today.
You took the day off today?
Well, no, I didn't take the day off. I couldn't go this morning.
Gotcha. Yeah, me neither. You know, I had stuff going on.
You know, I don't sleep a ton.
Yeah, you don't sleep at all. It's really weird.
I have 5 alarms on my phone. My wife and I didn't wake up till 7 o'clock today.
Whoa.
Yeah, which is super late for her and my daughter, because my daughter's school starts at like 7:30.
Just sprinting out the door like Home Alone.
I looked at my phone. All my alarms went off for so long that they just stopped
they
going
stopped
off.
Going. See, this I think is a sign, and your phone telling you need more sleep.
It might be.
If
yeah.
you sleep through 5 alarms, that is the... That's a warning shot right there.
Didn't hear one of them.
You need more than 3 hours of sleep a night, Mario Cristobal, okay? Come on, let's get at least 5 here.
Right. We just rolled, brother.
Does he do the pre-workout if he only gets 2 hours of sleep?
Yes, he does the pre-workout. It's a thing. I love, by the way, if you missed that interview with him, he was great today. We'll tweet it out after the show. His line about hugging guys, he didn't know. He thought he was hugging a coach. He didn't know who it was. He was like, wait, who the hell is this person?
By the way, I think if you go find images from that game, I believe I have found the picture he is referring to.
Of him hugging a rando?
Because I looked at the people around them.
Uh-huh.
They're not coaches.
Yeah, because when I saw him on the field, he was hugging 2 players, and then he gave the fist pump, and he started walking towards the middle of the field.
And I know the donors here, and I don't know all the donors yeah. for Oregon. I get that, but these do look like random older-ish fans
hey, Mario!
That he thought was a coach, and he goes, wait, why am I hugging you?
Who the hell is this guy? I love that.
Yeah, whatever. Come back. Let's hug, brother.
Yeah, let's go Ducks, man. Hey, Mike Dunleavy Sr. is going to join us top of the hour, share his thoughts on Paul Allen and the passing of the Blazers owner that we found out about yesterday. There is a team that just can't get out of its own way when it comes to dysfunction as of late, and that is the New York Giants. The New York Football Giants. Odell Beckham sat down for an interview with Josina Anderson a couple of weeks back, and today their owner decided to talk to the media, and everybody's kind of wondering, I wonder what he's got to say. Eli's getting up there. Are you happy with Shurmur? Thoughts on Odell? Well, John Mara didn't hold back. We are hopefully this works. We're going to try and play this. Here is owner of the Giants, John Mara.
I wish he would create the headlines by his play on the field as opposed to what he says and does off the field. I think he needs to do a little more playing, a little less talking.
Last year you called the season an embarrassment. At 1-5, what's the feeling here today?
Yeah, I'm still embarrassed being 1-5. I mean, I can't stand up here and make any excuses about that. You are what your record says you are, as a wise man once said, and nothing I can say to make people feel better about that. I'm suffering just as much as our fans are, probably more. But again, I have confidence that we have the right guys in the building to get it turned around. I wish he would.
So he says he wishes he would do a little more playing and a little less talking.
You know, I do appreciate John Mara for this. He can't pull the plug on Eli Manning, which has been one of his mistakes the last couple years. But I do like that he is an owner that will meet with the media on a semi-regular basis and then give his honest opinions on players or his team. He's mentioned some things before. I think Odell Beckham drives him nuts. But I think he is stuck in this, what do I do? He's Odell Beckham.
He's an incredible talent, sells jerseys, puts butts in the seats.
Right, and you can't fault him for that. But yeah. You know what had to have upset him the most from that dumb interview that Odell did with Josina Anderson? The thing that had to have hurt him the most was the question, are you happy in New York? Do you want to be in New York? And I hated it when I heard it the very first time. That had to have hurt him the most because Odell's answer was, well, this isn't an easy question. Yes, it is.
You just signed a 5-year, $90 million contract extension.
Like, if I'm John Mara, I'm thinking, I just gave you almost $100 million of potential earnings. I changed your life financially. Other owners could have, but I did. I drafted you. I've trusted you. And that's your answer?
it's a complicated a question if you want to be in the city. Like, I'm glad that he spoke out. I'm sure that he is going to talk to Odell one-on-one, and nothing is really going to come to this between them. But I'm glad the owner's speaking out, because you get a lot of people that cape up for Odell Beckham in that organization, and I just wish more people would put him in his place. I've already said before, he's so much of a headache that I would contemplate trading him, and I would just focus on whatever you get in the draft. If you can be in the Herbert sweepstakes,
yeah,
and then pair that with Saquon Barkley, who appears already ahead of his time with leadership and maturity.
Yeah, if nothing changes there, it's hard for me to see Odell Beckham finishing this contract in New York.
Oh, I have no faith he will.
The owner's making comments like this. He's already disgruntled. We're not even at the halfway point of the season, for heaven's sakes, and you're already dealing with this. Not to mention they're on Monday Night Football this week, so they got a national TV audience once again for some reason, two straight weeks. And they got the Falcons, who found a way to beat Tampa last week, and I think the Falcons are still alive in some way, shape, and form in that NFC South race, and they're playing a little bit better football, and that's in Atlanta. I'm going to take the Falcons all day to win that game. I have no trust. The Giants look like they've quit. The season almost looks, it reminds me of the team and the situation that you saw last year. So not a good look when the owner comes out and says, how about you do a little more playing and a little less talking? But that's what John Mara, the owner of the Giants, had to say about Odell Beckham after his ESPN interview a couple of weeks back. Hey, we got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. The NBA season officially begins tonight. Where is your excitement level for that? We'll allow Sprague to talk some NBA. I'll let you pontificate on some NBA opinions.
I may have to unbutton my pants.
We have Kawhi Leonard mashed with NBC theme music that's going to make your day. I promise you're going to laugh, and you're not going to want to miss that. We have not talked yet about the ALCS and NLCS. We need to get to both of those series, because the ALCS is about to start. Game 3 is about to start in about 10, 15 minutes from now. We'll start, though, the final hour with Mike Dunleavy Sr., former Blazer head coach from 1997 to 2001, currently the head coach at Tulane, and we're curious about his thoughts on the organization, his time in Portland, and what his relationship was like with the owner, Paul Allen, who sadly passed away yesterday at the age of 65. Mike Dunleavy Sr. kicks off the final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.